Good morning. It's Evan here again. Last night before I went to bed, I flipped open that Bible, just randomly, and I pointed my finger to a spot on the page. This is something that I do sometimes in books like the Bible, where there's no real progressive storyline per se, but it's more of a collection of stories. I'll do that in the dictionary sometimes, just to learn new words. Like, I'll just flip it open, I'll point to a spot on the page, and I'll read that word and its meaning just over and over a few times, just to make sure that it's something that's ingrained into my head. And then I'll try to make sure that I use it in everyday context sometime during the day. Sometimes I'm afraid that might make me seem a little pretentious, but I have fun with it, and it's actually fairly enlightening. You know, I always learn something new every time. But this time I did it in the Bible because I was, well, to be honest, I was bored. So I flip it open, I throw my pointed index finger down, and it rests on this amazing passage that I wanted to share. It says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." And it's from Mark chapter 10, verse 31. When I read it, I was half asleep. I do admit that. But I have to tell you, before I pointed my finger to that page, I asked God to give me some sort of sign, some sort of inspiration to let me know why I'm here and why I was chosen. I figured I should start practicing my praying abilities and just give it a shot. Well, none of that verse that I read even sank in when I first read it. But then early this morning, when it was still dark, I startled myself out of a deep sleep because it all suddenly made sense. I am the last that passage speaks of. I mean, if all of the signs that I see here are correct, then I am the last person here or anywhere. But does this mean that I am now also the first? What does that even mean? "But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Does this mean that if I'm first, does it mean that I'm to restart humanity by myself? I mean, am I looking too deeply into this? Restarting humanity? What does that even mean? I mean, am I Adam? And if so, where's my Eve? No, seriously, an Eve would be pretty awesome right about now. Okay, sorry God. Little sinful humor there. But seriously, I did get so inspired by all of this and the potential here. So I just grabbed the Bible again this morning, and I tried to repeat my highly scientific procedure of pointing and reading. And, well, this is where it really starts to prove my theory, and it gets a little scary. I marked each one of these because I just couldn't believe it was happening. Let me find where it was. I wanted to reread these once I got some proper daylight. Okay, the next one I found, right here, okay. It's Matthew 20:16, and it says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Now that's basically saying the same thing that the first one said, but it's just a few more details, right? But it's in a different book of the Bible. And I know that those New Testament books of that part of the Bible are just mostly repeated stories from different disciples, like Luke and Matthew, and I forgot the rest of their names, but there's more to this too. Let me find this next one. "And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." That's from Luke 13:30. There's another one here. Let me find it. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." That's Revelations 2, verse 8. Now, which was dead and is alive? That's what gets me in that part. It sends chills down my spine. I mean, I might be wrong, but I can almost bet I'm still alive. So what are they talking about? Which was dead and is alive? But then, again, in another part of Revelations here, a few pages down, it says, this is actually a verse that I remember when I was younger, from my childhood. And this is chapter 22, verse 13. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. But then there's this one that really hit home more than anything. Let me get to it. I marked all of these. And this one is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I mean, think about that one for a minute. That's crazy. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit? It says right there, the last Adam. I wonder if anyone ever read into that before, like I am now. Has any theologian ever really thought about the potential of that message? Or has it been meaningless up until this point? I mean, I might just be obsessing about it because of my current situation and the potential that that verse holds for me and my fate. And I remind you, these passages were all found in succession completely randomly. I just closed the book, I opened it again, and I let my finger lie where it will. Every single time, I promise you. And every time I'd find one of these passages, I couldn't believe it because it would happen over and over again. I just had to stop. I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, you can't just get any more inspired than that. I realize I sound crazy and I might be called crazy, and I'm pretty sure I'm not crazy, but finding every single one of those passages in succession like that, that's no coincidence. God is talking to me. I just wish I knew what it was that he was saying exactly, or why he's saying it to me. Okay, it's me again, a few hours later. I think I'm starting to recover a little bit from my divine intervention, but this is all still so huge. Not only that, I'm remembering everything now. I may not have the best recall in the world, but I can remember my life and my family and, well, my job with the Air Force. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. I just want to come clean. So much has happened these past few days. So much revelation. It's borderline overwhelming. But I think the only way I can sort things out is to talk about them to you, Mr. or Mrs. Voice Recorder. So, my job. Well, I don't know how much I should say exactly, because I think I remember everything, but I'm still holding on to the fact that I might survive this somehow, and all of my friends and family might jump out from behind the curtain any moment now, yelling, "Surprise!" Or maybe this is some sort of test put on the Air Force. In that case, I'd really be screwed if I were to record what I know about what we did. But then again, I don't think any experiment could actually make me turn to several Bible passages all saying basically the same exact thing. That's not something that can be planned or set up. Okay, I'll tell a little bit because it's really eating me up inside. And I think after that divine inspiration last night, I just need to come clean with everything I remember. Because it's not like I don't think I can get in trouble for it anymore. So I worked in a highly classified unit of the U.S. Air Force on a highly classified project in association with NASA. Anyone who follows any previous projects in coordination with the Air Force and NASA know that we haven't officially collaborated on anything in many, many years, or so we led everyone to believe. Most people are aware of the existence of unidentified flying objects. Even most children know about these things in some context, mostly under the general term UFO or aliens. You've seen him on conspiracy theory TV shows or on blockbuster Hollywood movies for several decades. It's a subject that fascinates the world. People want to know everything they can about the existence of extraterrestrials. People want to know that we're not alone. Well, I can tell you firsthand that we are certainly not alone. For several years during my career in the U.S. Air Force, I worked with alien technologies. This is items and gadgets and spacecraft that we've acquired in our atmosphere, I'll say. You know, I hope you appreciate the fact that I'm telling this, because I've never once said those words out loud to anyone outside of our facility. It's really hard for me to say all of this, but I need to say it. I still don't remember every single thing I've ever done in my work over the years, but I can tell you that from what I do remember, it's actually frightening how accurate some of those movies and TV shows are. Of course, we would wince every time there'd be a new UFO sighting on the news or some special broadcast, because we knew that it was one that slipped through the cracks. And when they slip through the cracks, there's always some sort of hyped up exaggeration that we can't acknowledge or deny publicly. But I do know one thing for sure. They're not all the same. And I guess maybe it's just human nature that we hear that an alien has a bulbous head and large black eyes and three fingers and all that close encounter stuff that you see, but it's not really like that at all. We found so many different types of extraterrestrials. But why wouldn't we? I mean, look at the differences in humans. Here on Earth, we're all so different. There's different hair color, different styles, skin color, heights, widths. It makes no sense to assume that beings from another part of this galaxy, or wherever, that they would all look the same. I mean, they didn't have tentacles or suction cup foreheads or anything like that. They actually looked, well, they looked pretty close to humans. But they did have some distinct differences that no one could really explain. Now, I admit, even though I'm sitting here spilling the beans on this, I didn't really get access to the biggest and best stuff. My main thing was I did some low-level research on the technology side. So I only really saw an alien life form once, and it was mostly under a blanket. The rest I've seen in photos, in certain reports that I've seen. And at first, I didn't realize that it was even an alien life form when I saw the one under the blanket. It seems so familiar and human. But then when I was able to look a little bit closer, I noticed this general a difference. I don't know how to explain it. It was just a certain distinction that it had from me. But it wasn't really anything that I could pinpoint. Or quite possibly, I'm just not remembering everything correctly. Who knows? But strangely enough, I wasn't even really interested in the biological side of things out there. Technology is where it's at for me, and, well, there's no way I could really even completely explain their technologies in relation to what we have here and what we know now, but let me just say that it was some fascinating stuff. It's not really the flying saucer stuff that you see on TV, but it's fascinating nonetheless. And this stuff has been going on for a long, long time. And it's much bigger than me or you. Well, than me, since there technically is no you. But what few people realize is the fact that Christopher Columbus reported seeing some type of unidentified glimmering object in the sky on his voyage to the New World in 1492. He actually spotted this glimmering light 4 hours before they discovered land. Was this some sort of alien guardian angel? Or a divine intervention, as I had? I mean, who really knows? But it's that type of thing that always intrigued me growing up. And it's the reason that I got into this sector of the Air Force. Of course, I didn't join the Air Force to do this type of work, but once my superiors got word of my interest in it, they didn't hesitate to get the ball rolling on my new career path. And these advances that I've seen, as I've said, are really nothing that I can explain. The most interesting thing to me, of course, is that eternal debate about traveling extreme distances without the effects of time really taking its toll. I mean, you get this plus their stealth technology, the way that so many UFO witnesses report no sounds at all. This is a commonality between a lot of these sightings. They always say they can't hear anything. They can see a light and it looks like it's 5 feet in front of their head, but they can't hear a thing. So those two technological breakthroughs are the things that plagued my research the most. So then now you can see why religion eventually went out the window for me. Everything I was taught in Sunday school many, many years ago, it just didn't line up with all of this. All of the things that I worked with on a daily basis. I mean, here I am looking at utilities created by something otherworldly. And I was always taught that we here on Earth were it. True science is the opposition to true religion, because one is fact-based and the other is faith-based. My faith always lied in what I saw as fact. I mean, that's just me as a researcher and as the skeptic that I am. And I guess also the military personnel that I am. But even still, I had those teachings from Sunday school still in my brain, way in the back. And now, after all of this, it's like they're being awakened. I didn't have faith anymore because my brain only processes real facts. But I just randomly turned to 4 or 5 passages in the Bible that all said essentially the same exact thing. So the facts now are that it's pretty difficult to believe that me finding those passages simultaneously could be completely random. This whole thing has awakened something in me that I thought lay dormant. My faith.